It's time now for Minds Over Matter, the Bay Area's favorite quiz show. Today, moderator Dana Rodriguez is joined by two panelists, former music critic Joshua Cosman and educator Lori Fisher. And now, here's your host, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, Joanne. Right on the button. And welcome to Minds Over Matter. Hope you're having a lovely Saturday morning. And we do hope you can spend an hour of that Saturday morning with us, because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, what we are looking for is your participation. That's very, very important. We want to hear from you. We love it when you call, and we love to talk to you. And those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. Or toll-free. Yes, we have a toll-free number. That's 866-798-8255. Again, that is 866-798-8255. Well, we'll be taking questions on just about every subject, with the possible exception of sports and rock music, because who needs that? And also, you can get in touch with us via email during the show if you prefer not to call. We love to talk to you, but if you want to use email, you can use email. And that email address is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. So that is MINDSOVERMATTER1. That's the numeral one. So that's mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. In fact, one just came in here. And of course, if you'd like to hear us in live stream, as if you're not doing it right now, I don't know. But live stream, of course, is at kalw.org. And if you'd like to hear the podcast, it should be up in a reasonable amount of time after our show today. That will also be at kalw.org and many, many other places. It won't be just KALW, but I'm sure they would like it if you listen on KALW, so we'll leave that up to you. All right, all that being said, we will start with a round of introductions and then a round of questions. And as soon as I pull it up, I'm going to read it. So here it is. When Joshua Cosman awoke this morning from troubled dreams, he found himself transformed in his bed into a gigantic insect. That's what retirement does to you, huh?
It's very true. It's very true. I was shocked. Life imitating art.
Yeah.
When the Olympics ended last Sunday, Lori Fisher figured he would just rest on his laurels. Unfortunately, he couldn't find them anywhere.
I cannot. And our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, thinks if the Democrats are going to be called communists, then we might as well all learn the words of the Internationale. Arise, ye prisoners of starvation.
It's quite a catchy song, actually, in its own way.
Yeah.
As an anthem.
I agree.
All right. And we'll start the questioning with Josh Cosman.
All right. I have a musical question. I always try and get a dad rock question here when Lori and I have the privilege of sharing the program. So I'm going to, this is a question about musical duos that use their last names, their actual last names. I'm going to give you the last names. You give me the first name. So if I say, I'm sorry, other way around, excuse me. I'm going to give you the first names. You give me the last names, which is the ones they go by. I'll say Paul and Art. You say Simon and Garfunkel, and then we'll flip it around and do it the other way. So first names to last names. Give me the last names of these musical duos: Daryl and John, Jim and Dash, Hicks and Ronnie. That's K-I-X and Ronnie, Lester and Earl, Nicholas and Valerie. Nicholas is spelled with a K, if that helps. And Kenny and Jim. And the other way around, I'm going to give you the last names of duos that performed under their first names. Last names are Moore and Prater, Barry and Torrance, Asher and Waller, and Tyson and Tyson. So again, these are musical duos that go by their two last names or their two first names. And I was very conscientious about this. I only used duos that use their actual names. I had Homer and Jethro in here for a while until I discovered that those were pseudonyms. So I'll give you the names that they don't use, and you give me the performing name. Daryl and John, Jim and Dash, Kix and Ronnie, K-I-X and Ronnie, Lester and Earl, Nicholas and Valerie, Kenny and Jim. And then last names to first names, Moore and Prater, Barry and Torrance, Asher and Waller, Tyson and Tyson. So I kind of let myself go here. It's a long list. Take a couple each.
All right. Let me start with something, because Lori will be better at this than I am. The L&E is, I'm sorry, would you repeat that one?
Lester and Earl.
Yeah, the Scruggs, right?
Say again?
The first
Scruggs.
Yeah, who's the Lester, though?
Lester Flatten and Earl Scruggs.
Correct. Flatten Scruggs is right.
That's right. Itchin and Scruggs.
What else?
And Daryl and John. Daryl and, well, John Oates and Daryl. Daryl Isett. No, Daryl.
Paul.
Hall. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Hall and Oates. Yeah. Again, I'm looking for these are acts that performed under those names. So, you know, not Steely Dan.
Steely
what
Dan.
Else? What do you got, Lori?
Well, I'm going to give you, I think I have three. Like Asher and Waller. I think that's Peter and Gordon.
That's correct.
You like them. I remember them well. Uh-huh. And then Kenny and Jim is definitely Loggins and Messina.
Correct.
Yeah, your mama can't dance. And should we leave the rest out? I have one more, maybe.
Yeah, take one more. There's a lot here.
This is my long shot. Is Nicholas and Valerie Ashford and Simpson?
It is. Well done. Yeah. Good job.
Good job.
I sort of apologize. These are all kind of old. It turns out it doesn't look like this style of nomenclature. It kind of went out of fashion at some point. You know, I mean, I made the first list, and it was like all 70s stuff. And I kind of had to search around to find some other things, but none of them very recent.
That's our wheelhouse. So that's good. That's our demographic.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Good. We'll leave the ones that are left out. Give me the performing names of Jim and Dash, Kix and Ronnie. Those are the only two first to last names left, but last to first names, Moore and Prater, Barry and Torrance, Tyson and Tyson.
Okay. Yep. And Lori, why don't you go ahead?
All right. Well, I'll save my dad question for a little bit later and go for literature here. I'm going to give you the titles of seven books, all of which are real famous. These are either the subtitles or the titles that were used for serious consideration before they changed the title that we know. Right. So these are all well-known books. There's seven titles. Most of them are 20th century. I think there's one or two that are 19th. First one is Last Man in Europe. That became a better known book. The Strike, number two. Like this title, The Dead Undead, number three. Fiesta, and that was the actual title of this really famous book in the European editions, Fiesta. First Impressions, Something That Happened. And the last one is Prometheus Unchained. So these are either subtitles or titles that were used and changed before publication. Last Man in Europe, The Strike, The Dead Undead, Fiesta, First Impressions, Something That Happened, and Prometheus Unchained. I think there's seven, maybe give you two each.
You're overestimating.
All right, give you one each.
I got Bupkis.
Bupkis, all right.
Something that happened.
Yeah, that's.
That rings a bell.
You probably read it because I think it's a separate piece, isn't it?
Is that not
a separate piece? It is not
it
a separate piece. It's an American. It's an American book.
It's an American book,
but it's something very. It's kind of like a separate piece in some ways.
It's in the same time period that it was written, more or less, and it's a much better known book than a separate.
Oh,
piece.
Oh, is it Salinger?
It is not Salinger.
All right. Anyway, let me go back to...
Yeah, go ahead.
Is Fiesta Fitzgerald?
No, it's not.
Okay.
But Fitzgerald's contemporary.
And Prometheus Unbound, that's Frankenstein.
Yeah, Prometheus Unchained, that is Frankenstein.
Prometheus Unchained.
Thank you. And that is its actual subtitle. Okay, bell on that one. What else?
All right. I'm sorry, I can't remember the other ones now.
Last Man in Europe, The Strike, The Dead Undead, Fiesta, which was the title used in European editions, First Impressions, and Something That Happened.
Well, First Impressions is that's Jane Austen.
Which
is that Pride and Prejudice?
It is Pride and Prejudice. Very good.
All right.
And I think
I was going to say you skewed me towards the 20th century here, and I was looking for First Impressions. Wow, did not something that happened.
All the rest are 20th century. There's one that might be on the borderline, and all the rest we read in school.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I don't know where we all went to school, but these are pretty standard high school and college lit.
Well, the weird thing is that there is a book called Last Man in Europe.
There is. Novel. Yeah, once this book didn't use it, and titles sometimes get reused. And the book it became is well known.
I know now. It's 1984.
It is. George Orwell's 1984.
I guess that's the connection, because the book that did use the title is a kind of a sequel in some ways to 1984.
I think that's right.
This was Last Man in Europe?
Last Man in Europe became 1984. Named supposedly because it was published in 48 and Orwell just switched the last
three. Right, right.
I don't know whether that's apocryphal. So let's leave the last three out there, unless Josh, you might have The Dead Undead and Something That Happened.
I'm just going to ask you this. I'm sure this doesn't have anything to do with this question, but now I've got a new question in my mind, which is there is a book that famously starts, all of this happened more or less. And I'm trying to place that in hopes that it's something that happened, but I can't get either one.
That's great. I don't think that's the first line of the book that used to be about something that happened.
Yeah, probably
it sounds
not.
Like it should have been. Yeah.
Two on the nose.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I wish I could help.
Okay. Very good. And the other one I didn't mention was Fiesta is still out there.
That sounds awfully familiar.
Yeah.
And it's not Fitzgerald, but it's a contemporary of Fitzgerald.
It is.
Okay. Oh, no, it's Hemingway.
I was going to say whichever the bull run.
You want me to say Laurie, or should I just keep it to myself?
Well, Josh.
I said it's. I've never read Hemingway, so I don't know which one is the bullfighting one. Is it
that's
the Sun
the
Also Rises?
It is.
The Sun Also Rises.
Okay.
There you go.
All right, and you haven't read it, so that's why you didn't know it. I thought everyone had to read it in high school.
I have great big lacunae in my learning.
All right,
Hemingway is one of them.
The Strike,
it's amazing how so many people, me included, can get to a certain age and not have read a lot of books like that. Although I did read that, I should say.
Right.
Yep. I got one up on you there. Email-wise, I see that Ellen and Peter both got Pride and Prejudice. So good.
Thank you.
And Peter had a question that he sent. DuPont Avenue, and this is for everybody, DuPont Avenue was named after Rear Admiral Samuel DuPont, who captured San Diego in the Mexican War. After taking the blame for failing to retake Fort Sumter in the First Battle of Charleston Harbor, the street was renamed after who?
So DuPont Avenue got renamed, and we want to know who it was renamed for.
Yeah, it's a major street in San Francisco.
Okay. That was my next question. Is every time in San Francisco?
Yeah.
Can you tell us when it was renamed?
Well, no, that's the question. It was renamed after another military figure, a more successful one.
And it's a major street in San Francisco.
It so is
Grant Avenue.
Yes. Grant Avenue.
No, very that's good. Nice. All right.
I did not know that.
I didn't either.
Okay.
All right.
And let's see. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, good morning. So I have a couple of very quick questions. What is the brightest star in the sky?
The blackest star?
Brightest.
Isn't it Sirius?
No. This is a tricky question. Tricky.
The sun.
The sun, right.
Nice.
The sun is a star. Okay. What is the brightest star at night sky and at night?
Sirius?
Sirius, yes. And Sirius was named, that's beautiful, after ancient Egyptian goddess Isis. It means the star of Isis, actually, in many languages, including Latin. Okay, we'll go to the year. So September 11 is the new year, new Egyptian year. Is it 3,265? Is it 4,265 or 6,265? Which one?
I'll open the bidding at 4,265.
No, it's actually 6,265. How did this people get? And it was so accurate. 365 days and a quarter. 12 months, but they added 5 days later, and they added 1 day every 4 years as the leap year. How did they do it 6,000 years ago? It's just very, very astonishing. Now we'll go to last week. Question about last week issue. Why do you take iodine pill in case if we have radioactive fallout? It doesn't have to be a nuclear bomb. It could be a reactor, exploding reactors somewhere down in California or whatever. Why do you take iodine pills to protect you from the bad effects of radiation? Why do you do?
This is...
And you can buy them at CVS or Walgreens. They have them.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know why? Well, the thyroid gland lives mostly on iodine. And the iodine is stable iodine 127. The bad one, iodine 131, and that one is very, very dangerous. Luckily for us, it has very short life. It only lasts about 8 days and goes away. All right, the other two elements that are so bad from, so when you take iodine 127, it keeps your thyroid gland from absorbing iodine, bad iodine 131 from there. So the two bad ones are, cesium and strontium. How many years lifetimes those guys have, which makes them really bad in organ? A lot. How many years? Well, actually, in tens of years. Time is short. I'll give you the answer. Cesium is 30 years. Strontium is 29 years. The problem with strontium, it goes to your bones. It's also alpha emitter. It's very, very, very dangerous. It also goes into cow milk, by the way. Okay, very, very last question about the hydrogen bomb. What is the difference between kiloton and megaton? How many tons in kiloton?
Ton, megaton, and kiloton. What's your question on that?
My question is how many tons each?
No.
Is one 1,000 times bigger than the other?
Yes. Kilo is 1,000. How about mega?
1,000 again. 1,000,000.
1,000. Million. Call it billion. Yeah. All right.
Very nice.
So the Hiroshima bomb was dropped on Nagasaki with about 20,000. It killed overall about 200,000 people, if you really take account for people who died later. What is the biggest bomb? What country has the biggest bomb right now in the world? Is it Russia or the U.S.?
Ooh, probably Russia.
You're right. You know, they call it Tsar bomb. How do you spell Tsar? The Tsar bomb.
Well, there are different ways to spell it, but C-Z-A-R or T-Z.
Very good.
C-Z-A-R. Yes.
This thing is 500 megawatt, megatons. 500 megatons. The U.S. have one about 300 megatons, and one big. This thing are big enough to destroy a few states. If they ever drop, so really we have to.
You should have your own show. You should have your own show to tell people these things.
He does have his own show.
All right. Second question. Just a question.
All
right, E, we got to get going. We got to get going.
Take care. Have a good day. Bye. Right.
Thank you. Bye bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. I hope we're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. We certainly enjoy hearing from you. Feel free to give us a call. We'd love to talk to you. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. Our panel today, that would be Joshua Cosman, music writer and former critic for the San Francisco Chronicle, and also inventor of crossword puzzles. You still do that, I'm assuming.
Yes, out of left field.
All right, good.
weekly cryptic crossword.
Are you still in? You were in New Republic, or were you?
We were in the Nation.
Or the Nation. I'm sorry.
We were in the Nation. They gave us the boot. We went independent. We've got a Patreon. You can find us at leftfieldcryptics.com. Leftfieldcryptics, all one word.
Good. And Lori Fisher teaches at Dabble College. And I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. And of course, you can get in on the fun here. All you have to do is call 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. Okay, let me give you a couple questions here. We'll start with the mundane. What is the U.S. airport with the longest average walk from check-in to gate? What is the U.S. airport with the longest average walk from check-in to gate? I will say that has been measured. The longest walk in this airport that you can do from check-in to gate is 2.16 miles.
Oh, wow.
Huh. So what U.S. airport?
It's one of two possibilities, but I don't know. I'm going to guess Denver.
Denver is a huge airport. You're right. But no, it's not Denver.
All right.
Is it Los Angeles that expansive or not?
It is not Los Angeles. I mean, we have plenty of big airports in the U.S., it's not that. So once more, what is the U.S. airport with the longest average walk from check-in to gate? The longest walk you can do in a check-in to gate at this airport is 2.16 miles.
And this is a major U.S. city, right?
It is indeed.
My second guess, and then I'll shut up, is O'Hare.
It is not O'Hare.
Yeah.
All right.
I've done the O'Hare, and it's long, but it's not 2 miles.
Yeah,
otherwise, I couldn't have done it. Yeah.
Well, they all seem like.
Yeah.
Okay. What three authors, and these three authors are all Nobel Prize winners for literature. What three authors had all their works banned by the Vatican?
Wow.
What three authors, and they're all Nobel Prize winners for literature, had all their works banned by the Vatican?
Wow. Okay.
That's impressive.
Yeah. And so, can we say this is because they were considered immoral? Or
I suppose.
Yeah.
And I'll give you a little hint that one of the authors wrote a book with a title of what Lori just mentioned.
Ooh.
I've already forgotten what he said. Immorality.
Yeah. Well, the ones that won. Go ahead, Josh.
How about Dario Fo?
Oh, interesting. Well, you know, they haven't banned authors in a blanket way for a long time.
Oh, okay. So that was my next question. Is like, this was a single blanket ban.
This is
on
the
everything.
20th century. I will give it to you. It's the 20th century. But as in the last, I don't think they have banned an author in the last 30 years or anything.
But these are all author bans, not cumulative. I was thinking like maybe it's somebody who wrote one book and that book was
banned. No, it's cumulative. It's everything.
It's everything. Yeah. Like, don't ever read anything by this person.
Yes, exactly.
So given your connection to my topic, which is about the authors, I think the only Nobel Prize winner that we've got so far is Hemingway. And we mentioned The Sun Also Rises. Not Hemingway. Okay. Mm-hmm. I was going to guess Steinbeck.
Not Steinbeck.
Wow.
No.
Because they have a mercy killing.
How about Pasternak?
Ooh.
Interesting. No, not Pasternak.
Gosh.
How many of them are American? Can you tell us that?
I will say that none of them are American.
I was going to say that doesn't. We're not that problematic.
So let me just repeat the question. What three authors, and they're all Nobel laureates for literature, had all their works, not just one work, all their works banned by the Vatican?
And since we haven't gotten anything so far, I'm going to ask: when you say author, does that exclude poets? Or let me put it this way.
It doesn't exclude.
Okay. Both. So you're using.
But in the I would say that writers. Principally these three people are.
Yeah. Got it.
All right. Let me give you. I'm going to give you one right. more. One more question.
This is a great question. I'm going to be turning Thank over
you.
On this.
Thank you. All right. So I'm going to give you seven U.S. states, and I want you to tell me that the longest river in each of these states is named after another state. Huh. So I'm going to give you the names of seven states, and the longest river in each of these states is named after another state. So, but please just answer one piece.
Again. You're way overestimating at least one of us.
Go ahead.
Well, Josh, that was directed at me.
Oh, okay.
Number one, Vermont. Number two, Utah.
Wow.
Number three, Tennessee. Number four, South Dakota. Number five, Pennsylvania. Number six, Oklahoma. Number seven, Alabama. Okay, so just remember, the longest river in each of the states that I named all have the name of another state. So not the state they run through, but another state. Oh. So number one, Vermont. Number two, Utah. Number three, Tennessee. Number four, South Dakota. Number five, Pennsylvania. Number six, Oklahoma. Number seven, Alabama. So what's the longest river in each of those states that's named after another state?
Well, Josh, how many do you know?
I don't know any.
Yeah.
I'm going to make some three. Random embarrassing guesses.
Why are you even here, Josh? You never know.
I never know anything.
No. All right. I'll start Tennessee. Is it the Ohio River?
Tennessee is not the Ohio River.
Oh. All right. Go ahead, Josh.
I was going to guess Missouri for Tennessee, the Missouri River for Tennessee.
And you'd still be wrong.
Yeah.
How about the Missouri River for Oklahoma? I thought it was.
No.
Okay.
Does the Mississippi run through Alabama?
It must.
No, I wouldn't say that.
Mississippi does not run through Alabama.
No, it's further west.
We're nailing it.
Yeah, I don't. Rivers, I just don't know. Vermont. Let's team up here, Lori. We can do this. We each have half a brain.
Speak for yourself. Yeah.
What state named rivers run through New England?
Yeah.
Is there a Massachusetts River? Is there a?
Yeah, you went to school in New England. You should know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that was
years ago. All the rivers.
There is a Connecticut River. There's a Connecticut River. Does it run through Vermont?
Yes, it does.
All right.
Okay. All right.
You broke the chain.
I broke it, man. I'm done.
I'd like to take half credit. Well, let's do Utah. We'll leave it over. So what?
Utah.
What's on the west?
Oh, it's the Colorado. It's the Colorado River.
There you go. All
right. Of course. Okay.
Anyway.
So we're not as dumb as we look on radio.
Thank goodness. All right. Yeah. The Connecticut the River out. Runs through Vermont.
Very good, Josh.
The Colorado River runs through Utah. There we go. Right. Okay. Just quickly repeat here. The longest rivers in these states all have the name of another state, so keep it in mind. The ones we have left are Tennessee, South Dakota, Pennsylvania, Oklahoma, and Alabama. So what are the state name rivers that run through those states that do not share the name of that state? What is the U.S. airport with the longest average walk, from check-in to gate? The longest is 2.16 miles. And what three authors, and they're all Nobel laureates for literature, have all their works, not just one work, all their works banned by the Vatican? So, all right.
Very good.
How about Milosz?
No.
All right.
Nope. Let's see. I'll just look at emails here for a second. Robert is wondering if the airport with the longest walk is Detroit. No, it is not Detroit. Peter is wondering Yes, he has. He has two. He has. He got the Connecticut River in Vermont. Very good. And he got the Ohio River for Pennsylvania. So very good.
And Marla okay. had that too. Very good.
And let's see. Oh, yeah. Howard was wondering if this James Joyce is one of the band authors. He is not one of the band authors.
Did he win the Nobel Prize? I don't think he did. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But
all right. Anyway. So wait a minute. Nobel Prize winner, Van by the Vatican, Beckett.
Good guess.
I mean,
you mean Murder in the Cathedral?
No, Samuel Beckett. Samuel Beckett.
Oh, yeah.
Waiting for Godot, Beckett.
I mean, no. You know.
No, Murder in the Cathedral is Eliot.
Yeah, no.
Beckett won, and he didn't write that much, and Waiting for Godot, great guess.
Yeah. These three authors were quite prolific, fairly prolific authors. So, yeah, every one of their works was banned. I mean, I don't think they were banned one by one by
right.
one.
No, we got it. The writers themselves were banned.
Yeah. Right. And let's go to a call.
Hi, you're online.
Hi. Arkansas River, did you say? I think that's Oklahoma.
Arkansas River is Oklahoma, yes.
Yay! And I think the longest airport, I'm going to guess Atlanta.
It is not Atlanta.
So that's a huge airport because it's a hub.
Yeah, no argument.
Okay. Let me. I've been assembling this now because I was thinking defeated. Getting back to politics, defeated tickets. These are defeated presidential tickets, yes. Starting in 1948. Because that has that famous headline: Dewey defeats Truman. Of course,
that's Dewey Warren. Dewey Warren.
Right.
Yes.
And who was the vice president? We're going to focus on the vice president. Who was the vice president? Oh, you said.
You mean who was on the losing side? The vice that was.
Yeah,
that was Earl Warren.
Earl Warren. Okay. Yes. So it looks like you're going to get this well. So keep going up like toward the present. What was the next? Defeated
1952.
Kefauver. Kefauver.
Yeah. No. Kefauver is 56. Sparkman is 52.
Well, I thought Kefauver was both times. I'm wrong.
You're right, Sparkman. And what's 56?
That's Kefauver. As Jeff just said. It's Stevenson Kefauver.
Yeah. What a weird name, Kefauver. Okay. So this is going to be easy for you. So keep going.
So,
who's next?
60 is Nixon.
Nixon Lodge.
Yes. John
I'm
going to have you say the first name. John Cabot Lodge. 4 years later.
So it's Goldwater
and...
Goldwater and Miller.
Miller.
Yes. Very boring name, huh? William Miller. 4 years later.
He was a congressman.
Is what?
I think from New York, actually.
Who was
Humphrey
running?
And...
Humphrey Muskie.
Yes. Humphrey Muskie, 4 years later.
Shriver. Shriver.
Eagleton,
then Shriver, right.
Right, because it was that Shriver. 4 years later.
76, that's...
Reagan and...
Carter
wins, but doesn't he beat Reagan?
Oh, it's Carter. It's still Carter Mondale.
You jumped over it.
No, 76 is the question.
Oh, 76. I'm sorry. That's Ford.
Ford and Rockefeller.
No, Ford Dole. Wasn't it Ford Dole?
Right, Dole. Rockefeller didn't run.
He didn't run. Remember,
he was the vice president, but didn't. Okay.
Right, yeah. So Bob Dole, 4 years later, who gets defeated?
That was Carter.
That's Carter Mondale.
Right.
Yeah.
But actually, so focus on the vice president.
Sorry, Walter Mondale.
Walter Mondale, 4 years later.
And that's
Jerry Ferraro.
Exactly. So,
Mondale
Geraldine Ferraro, she was had gone farther than any other woman until today, with the...
Right?
And then
84 is...
No, 88 now is Dukakis Benson.
Right, and who?
Benson. And
Lloyd Benson.
Yeah. Who delivered that knockout punch in that debate?
About Kennedy.
You are no. And who did he say that to, by the way? I forget. I keep forgetting.
Dan Quayle.
Right, right. You are no Jack Kennedy. Okay, I think we've caught up. But I was glad I did this because I was like, oh, Geraldine Ferrara.
I mean,
she died, but she would be like cheering from her grave.
Yeah.
All right, okay, thanks a lot.
All right.
I got one.
Thank you very much.
Okay, bye.
And you are listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Feel free to give us a call. Area code 415-841-4134. Or toll-free, 866-798-8255. We are a little past halfway, so let's quickly repeat any questions that have not been answered yet. Josh, start with you.
Yeah, I'm looking for musical duos using their first or last names. What is the musical duo whose first names, rather, are Jim and Dash, Kix and Ronnie? And then from last name to first names, Moore and Prater, Barry and Torrance, Tyson and Tyson.
And I am looking for that for four novels, maybe three, that have these as their original subtitles or titles that were seriously considered. We need The Strike, The Dead Undead, and Something That Happened.
Something That Happened.
Lori, is the strike isn't the jungle, is it?
It is not the jungle.
Okay.
Lightly after that.
Okay. So would you tell, are these all Americans or?
No, two of them are American and one isn't. Well, one was an expatriate who moved to the United States. And one is not and one is. One's a Nobel Prize winner. One of them, all of us read in high school.
Is one of them Native Son by any chance?
No, not Native Son.
Okay.
And Josh, I have a quick question for you. Did Karl Marx win the Nobel Prize, and would he have been the band author if he did?
I don't think
so. No, he did not.
Okay. I didn't think so. And he wouldn't have won it for literature, but I'm thinking who would be the band. Okay, go ahead, Dana.
Yes. So looking for, what is the U.S. airport with the longest average walk from check-in to gate? The longest walk in that airport is 2.16 miles. And what three authors who share the fact that they all won the Nobel Prize for literature had all their works, cumulatively had all their works banned by the Vatican? I don't know if that ban, I don't think that ban's still in existence, by the way, but I'm not absolutely positive about that.
And none are American authors, correct?
None are American authors.
Did any of them write in English?
I think in a small way, but no, generally not. No.
Okay.
I mean, I think they all knew English and may have done some writing in it. But
yeah, no, I mean of their famous published work.
Yeah. Native language, yeah.
There's no
but
reason.
all their works were widely published in English. So
sure. There's no reason why Hermann Hesse would have been banned, is there?
I'm not sure.
I'm just thinking of Nobel laureates that are.
But no, he's not
remotely. He's not, you know, like I'm. Yeah. You know, it's not Kipling and it's not Churchill. So you know,
Gabriel Marquez won, but I don't think he would have been banned, would he?
Mm,
A Hundred Years of Solitude.
This is just maybe? A little. This is 20th. You know, like, this is sort of middle.
What about
early,
what about
early to mid 20th century? What sort
about,
of.
What about Pablo Neruda?
No.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right.
And the final question I asked, the longest rivers in these U.S. states all have the name of another state. So each of these states, the longest river in them has the name of another state. The ones we have left are Tennessee, South Dakota, Pennsylvania. Did we get Pennsylvania?
Yes.
Yeah, we got Pennsylvania. It was the Ohio River.
Oh, sorry. That's the Ohio River. Sorry.
Yeah.
My apologies. So just Tennessee, South Dakota, and Alabama. So, all right. And Josh, you go ahead. You have a question.
Yeah, I had a longer question, but I think I'll leave it till next month. This is in all candor. This is a repeat. I asked this question in 2010, and I found this in my files, and I thought it's still kind of interesting.
Go ahead. So it's old enough now that you can ask it again? Is
that right?
And that we've forgotten the answer.
Yeah, exactly. What is the largest city in the world that is not situated on a river, lake, or coastline? Ooh. The largest city in the world that is not situated on a river, lake, or coastline.
Is this a
very thirsty population?
Is this a major
it is
city?
A,
is it a capital city now?
It is. I got to think about that for a second. God, I'm blanking.
You mean whether it's a capital city?
Whether it's a capital city, it may or may not be. I know this, but I can't think of it under pressure.
So I think that means it's not in the United States.
I think it is. Yeah. I think it is not in the United States. No, we only do well-irrigated cities in this country. But this is a very large, major world city that is not situated on a river, lake, or coastline. And it is, in fact, a capital city.
Did it start as a...
Oh, don't ask me about the history of it, man. That will not end well for me.
I don't know.
Yeah, all right. It is the largest city in its country, and it seems not to be the
You should try to do the research before the question.
But I know. You're not wrong. You're not wrong. It is not a capital city. I was wrong about that.
All right. So the fact that you didn't know it was a capital city or not would imply to me that it's a rather obscure country.
No, it is not. It implies that my ignorance is massive.
Well, you missed rehearsal. If you had come to rehearsal, we would have gotten off.
Yeah, I know. Let's leave it out, and if people, someone will know it or figure it out, and if they don't, I'll narrow it down.
Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good morning, everyone. This is Sparky and Maddie from Connecticut. How are you all doing?
Hi, guys.
Didn't hear you.
Oh, well, how about now?
Yes, we can hear you.
Good to hear you.
Okay, good. All right, I'm just going to reel off this line. Band author, how about Sartre?
That is indeed one of them. Yes.
Oh, nice. Mm.
John Paul Sartre.
Thank you. The longest forest, Tennessee. How about the Mississippi River? It's right on it.
That is right, Tennessee.
Nice.
And for South Dakota, how about the Missouri River?
That is also right.
All right. Longest airport walk, how about Las Vegas?
It is not Las Vegas.
Okay, now we'll get to the meat of the one. You ready, Josh?
I'm ready. I knew you'd have these. Go ahead.
Okay. Kix Brooks and Ronnie Dunn.
That is correct.
Jan Barry and Dean Torrance.
Correct.
Sam Moore and Dave Prater.
Good.
And Jim Seals and Dash Crofts.
You got it. Just and one left. Just one left. You got the last one?
No, I don't. I'm trying to ponder over that, but
okay.
I'm stumped at the moment. But otherwise, we're done.
Good job.
Tyson,
thank you. Good night, all.
We're only missing Tyson and Tyson.
We're missing Tyson and Tyson, and I will tell you they are not siblings. They are a married couple, or they were when they performed together.
Mike and Cicely. Probably not.
Yeah. Don't know them.
Well, Mike Tyson and Cicely Tyson? Well,
sorry, got it.
Nope. All right.
All right. I should give credit to some of our email listeners here that Kevin got the longest river in South Dakota is Missouri. Yes, that is very true. And Jim and Dash, they got... Douglas got Jim and Dash, that's Seals and Crofts.
Seals and, exactly.
So, let's see. All right, I'll get the other ones in a minute. Okay. So, let's see. Lori, I think it's your turn to do a question.
Yeah, I'll get this one in under, because Josh is here and you're here both. I came across an article about the really famous album, the Judy Garland at Carnegie Hall album. I was looking at the set list. She did four encore songs, four encores at Carnegie Hall. And want to know what year that happened and what the four songs were that she ended that great concert with. So this is Judy Garland at Carnegie Hall. What year? And then more importantly, what four encores?
Well, I think it was 51.
No, it was later than that.
Was it? Okay. Well, yeah. she was there a few times. Oh, it was 61.
Yeah, 61 is correct. April 23rd,
1961. Only 10 years old.
And the songs are all pretty much old standards, some associated with her. Look at the time. One is the name of a city. I'll give you that one as a hint, the very last one. And the rest are associated with her.
Over the Rainbow.
Yes, that was the first encore.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Right. Good. So, I'm sure she did The Man That Got Away.
She had done that earlier in the show, so not it wasn't an encore.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The whole set list is, I don't know, 30 songs. These are the four after she finished. The song she finished with in quotation marks was Rockabye Your Baby. These were the four that came after that with four standing ovations.
Well, Josh got Over the Rainbow.
He did. That was number one.
That was very low-hanging fruit.
The one with the city name. It's probably Chicago, right?
Yeah. She ended the concert with Chicago, that toddling town. We're good. All right.
And
did she do Clang, Clang, Clang went the trolley?
She opened with it.
She opened
with a medley from Meet Me in St. Louis.
I know that one of the songs she always did at the concert was Swanee.
Yes. That was the second. So she's first encore is Somewhere Over the Rainbow. Second one is Swanee. The final one is Chicago. And then the last one is really well known, but not as well known.
I don't know. I don't think I know the other one.
Josh, any idea?
No clue.
It's a song from 1918. Not that that'll help much.
Tell me the author.
My Yiddish Mama.
Yeah.
I don't know if she did one. I don't know the composer of that song. I should. Oh, don't know. I don't think it's an Irving Berlin. It's a classic, and it's in one of her movies. I just don't recall which one. That 15 minutes, somebody will get it.
Let's okay.
Leave it out there. Cool.
Leave it up. Guys.
Yeah.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Hello? Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I wanted to say that the musical duo is Ian and Sylvia.
That is correct.
Oh, well done.
Good work.
Very nice.
Good to hear their names. Yeah, that's great. Four strong wins, right?
Mm.
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
I love the single caller who comes in with one answer. It's the
Me
one
too.
We need.
I agree. It's exciting. Yeah.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
I've got more than one answer. This is Tom. So
hi, Tom.
That's not.
More than one is fine, too. I didn't mean to disrespect them.
But they're not right. That's okay.
Even better.
The largest city on the river, is that maybe like Lahore in Pakistan?
Ooh, good guess, but not correct.
Yeah, okay.
Not.
And then let's see, the Pennsylvania River, is that the Delaware?
What did I have here? I didn't.
You said Ohio.
Yeah, Ohio. No, the Pennsylvania.
I didn't ask.
I didn't ask Delaware.
No. Tom was suggesting that the Delaware River, which is indeed runs through Pennsylvania.
Oh, no. None of them are Delaware. No.
No. Okay. I see. And the Alabama River, I was trying to think of. It's not Hawaii. I don't think there's a Hawaii River. The longest check-in to gate. How about something like Anchorage?
Ooh. It is not Anchorage.
Good guess.
Okay.
Excuse me.
No, I think that's all I got. I got many questions, but I'll ask two. I got Kevin Costner apparently said that he was in talks with this woman to star in Bodyguard 2, the sequel, and he talked to her the night before she died.
Oh. Whitney Houston.
No, she was in the first one.
So he was
in talk with another person to star in the sequel, in a sequel to it.
And she also died?
Yes.
Oh.
Huh.
That's a bummer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
Excuse me. So another singer.
Going to be someone sort of young, I assume.
I didn't say a singer.
Oh.
Oh, you did not say a singer.
Oh.
No.
Oh, I made a bad assumption. So he was going to guard somebody else. Is this person a famous actress?
No.
Oh. Politician?
No.
Yeah. Not a singer, well, not a politician.
What are they famous for? Yeah, what we ask?
That would give it away.
Oh. Was
very
this a woman?
Famous, though.
Was this a
very,
woman of color?
Famous.
A woman of color?
No.
Hmm.
Wow.
Hmm. And you said that? Not a. Oh, it's the Queen of England.
Ooh, no.
Oh, okay.
Close.
Very oh, close. Princess Diana.
Princess Diana, yes.
No. All right.
That wow.
She talked about that, huh?
That's amazing.
He did. Yeah. He said that he had, yeah, he had been in talks with her and spoke to her the day before she died. Yeah.
Wow.
And then one other question real quick is I've got two movie character names, which are Steve Martin and Janice Ian. And can you tell me what movies those were the character? Were?
Yeah. Well, Janice Ian is from Mean Girls.
That's right.
Played by Lizzie Kaplan. Is that her name?
Yep.
Yeah.
Lizzie Kaplan.
Yeah.
And also did they do the that as Party a Party Down show?
Yeah, they did that as a sure.
Tribute? Yeah.
Yeah.
You may not think this may not be the answer you're looking for, but Humphrey Bogart played a character called Steve Martin. Is that?
Did he? Oh, that's not who I'm thinking of, but that's good. There's another one. What movie was he Steve Martin in?
It was one of his melodramas from, I'm trying to remember now, late 30s, early 40s.
But in a Desert, something like that.
Yeah, well, no, it's a gangster. It's a he played a gangster, I believe. So yeah. I'm sorry, I can't think of the movie, but he
that's
did.
Okay, I'll look it up. I'm all right. Sure I can figure it out.
But was this Steve Martin after the famous Steve Martin? Like Steve Martin was already famous?
No.
Okay.
No, I think uh-huh. when this happened, Steve Martin, the comedian Steve Martin would have been, you know, very, very young at the time.
Yeah.
Under 10, I would assume. Yeah.
What kind of movie is it?
It is, well, that would give it away. Probably. Probably. Yeah, and I could say this person was not in the original movie, if that makes sense.
Oh, is it? Oh, no. Sorry, I've got it backwards.
So it's a movie that was had scenes cut into it.
Oh.
Huh.
Oh.
And was Steve Martin in the movie? No. Couldn't have
been. Is this
the actor, comedian? No. It was the name of the character was Steve Martin.
Oh, so this is not Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid or anything like that?
No.
Okay. No, I can't.
Don't know.
Okay, no. Steve Martin was Raymond Burr in Godzilla.
All right.
That's pretty cool.
That's funny.
Yeah, very interesting. Thanks. Great show.
All right, very much. All right.
Adios.
And let's see. Next call, please.
Hi there. It's Danny and Sandra in sunny Albany.
Hi, Danny. Hi, Sandra.
Hiya.
Hello. All right. Well, 45 minutes ago, I was planning on asking a question about Generalis, but I'll wait till next week because I don't think we have time.
I think we need to ask about nuclear holocaust. Ask my nuclear holocaust.
No, I got nothing regarding radioactivity of any kind, but...
that's been covered.
As a Pennsylvanian, I knew, of course. I learned to spell because I grew up in Pittsburgh where the Allegheny, the Monongahela, and the easy one, the Ohio run.
Sniped on Steelton-Croft and the Indian Sylvia and all that. From personal experience, I'm wondering if JFK is the longest walk airport.
No, it is not.
I think it might be Salt Lake City.
It is not Salt Lake City.
It sure seems like it. I'll just say that.
Yeah, they all seem like it. Yeah,
it's at least a mile in Salt Lake.
All righty. Okay, so Vatican banning. How about the other depressive French writer, Camus?
No, but since we're down to the last few minutes of the show, they're all French.
Oh, then Isaac Bashevis Singer is not one of them. Okay.
No, he's not.
Oh, well. Well, there's that. Sandra had an idea for the Judy Garland song.
Oh,
yes.
Well, I don't think it's early enough, but I keep hearing Happy Days Are Here Again.
You know, I think she sang it, but not as an encore. I'm not positive.
Yes. All righty. Well, we will not belabor your time because we've run out. We'll call next week with the Generalis question.
Oh, thank you. And I'm sorry if you waited too long on the line.
Well, if it's too long, we'd wait forever.
We enjoy all those minutes.
Thank you.
Oh. Okay, guys. See you next week.
Bye-bye.
So, Josh, we need French Nobel Prize winners who aren't Sartre or Camus.
I don't know anything about him, but the original Mistral, you know, the one that Gabriella took her name from. I don't know. That's all I know about
him. Drawing a blank on that.
French.
Yeah.
No, there's like
20th century. So it's not earlier.
Yeah. Anyway. All right.
We don't know.
Next call, please. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello. I have a question, but
yes,
no answer.
Yes, please. Okay. Well, we can try.
Okay. Well, this is sort of about the Electoral College. We know that every state has two senators. Which states have two representatives?
Oh, I see.
Hawaii?
Yes.
Ooh, how many are there?
Seven.
Vermont?
Vermont, no.
No, get those small East Coast states.
Yeah. Some of them have only just the one.
So how about, is that right?
I asked that on the radio years ago, but I can't remember the answer. Two.
New Hampshire.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at the
I would have guessed one of the Dakotas, but I think they have only the one each. Idaho?
Yes.
Montana, maybe.
Montana sounds
yes,
like a good
Montana.
Guess. How many is that? Did we get four?
Four. We need three more.
Yes, you got four.
North Dakota, South Dakota?
No.
No, they have just one. How about Rhode Island?
Yes.
Oh.
Good. We're almost out of time. So
yeah, tell us the last two.
I guess you
better
tell us the rest.
We got pretty
Maine,
good.
Maine and Maine. West Virginia.
Oh, okay. Nice. Good list.
Nice.
Thank you. Thank you for the question. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, time to wrap up here. And Josh, I'll start with you.
The largest city in the world that is not situated on a river, lake, or coastline is Johannesburg, South Africa. I'm embarrassed that I had to think about. You know, there's so many capitals in that country. I'm done.
Okay. Judy Garland, the song that we didn't get that she sang for an encore is After You've Gone. And I forget the composer of that. And the three books, the original title, the Strike was the original title of Atlas Shrugged, Ayn Rand book. The Dead Undead was the original title, believe it or not, of Dracula. Seems good. And something that happened is the one I thought you'd get. It's Of Mice and Men. That was Steinbeck.
Oh, all right.
Okay.
Anyway, so that wipes me up.
All right. The U.S. airport with the longest average walk from check-in to gate, that is Dallas-Fort Worth. Yeah. One of our – somebody, I think somebody got that in the email, and I'm sorry if I didn't give you credit for that. The three authors, all Nobel laureates for literature, all had their works banned by the Vatican. That's André Gide, Anatole France, and Jean-Paul Sartre, or Sartre. And, of course, André Gide wrote the novel The Immoralist, so maybe that has something to do with it.
That would do it.
The longest river in Alabama that is named after another state is the Tennessee River.
Sure.
All right. If we can get your call, I do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Thanks to our panels today. That would be Joshua Cosman, puzzle master, music critic, and all-around good guy. And Lori Fisher teaches at Dabo Valley College. I've been your moderator, Dan.
Hey, and he's also an all-around good guy.
Okay, there you go.
Thank you.
I don't want to be the only one.
Yeah, and you're a good guy.
Yeah, you're a good guy, too.
Thank you. It's the Uplift Club. But been your moderator, Dan Rodriguez. Thanks to Joanne Marr, who's also a good guy, for handling the board and phones. And above all, our thanks to all the good guys out there who took the time to listen and call in. Thanks, everybody. Please join us next Saturday morning.
Thank you, Marla, too, for being on the board.
Yep. All right.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Take care, everybody.